Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for this time that we can come before your very presence to worship you. We pray that you be pleased to be in our midst, that you have the freedom to speak to us, and that our hearts may also be receptive to what you have to say to us. We thank you for creating us in your image, and we thank you for your kind intention toward us. That's your desire, that we conform to the image of Christ. We pray, Father, that you help us in the midst of trials, difficulties, the many temptations and distractions in this fallen world. We will not be deterred nor discouraged when we do falter and fail, but our eyes may be on you, to know that you love us, you care for us, and that you help us to attain to what you desire of our lives. We pray that you have the freedom to help us to understand what you revealed in the scriptures, and that we may have the right approach and perspective of life. All this we pray and commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 36th message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 5th message. We are considering how to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the 2nd message. And the subtopic for today, positive approach and perspective of life. Responding well to God, His provisions, and working in our lives. Positive approach and perspective of life. Responding well to God, His provisions, and working in our lives. We have seen that moral, spiritual beauty and stature is one of the two key aspects of God's intentions for man. The other is the quality of our relationship with God. And I mentioned the last message that these two key aspects of God's intentions for man can be likened to the two legs of a man. The health and strength of the two legs of the man enables the believer to fare well in the Christian walk and the Christian race, and to be able to stand firm and fight a good fight of faith, live a life pleasing to God, and accomplish God's will. On the last message, we began to consider this important subject of how to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, as this is a very critical issue. We want to understand how we can make good progress. We have covered the first point, strong conviction and continuing consciousness of the importance of moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and paying due attention to nurture it. And today I want to continue with the second point, positive approach and perspective of life, responding well to God, His provisions, and working in our lives. There are many different ways of answering the question how to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. We can make a list of points, and it can be quite a long list, and there are many areas to attend to. That is true. We can also say it is a rather complex issue. That is also true. On the one hand, we should not oversimplify this complex issue. And yet, at the same time, in the midst of considering this important and subject, we may get lost in considering it from many different angles, and I see that there's a helpful way of summing up this whole subject and simplifying the whole answer as responding well to God, His provisions, and working in our lives. I see this is a helpful way of summing up how to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, because if we respond well to God, His provisions, and God working in our hearts, we will make good progress. And if we don't, we will not. This ultimately is the real issue. All other issues complement this. There are also various other secondary issues. For example, if we really respond well to the Lord, then there is nothing that can stop us from growing. Responding well to God is helpful for us as we consider the subject of growth, that our concentration must be on God and our recognition that this is extremely important. The starting point must be in our recognition of how God has created us, His intention toward us, what He has provided for us. Otherwise, no matter how hard we try, we will not make good progress. In fact, we will not even be able to make progress on our own. However, it's not enough to just concentrate on God and His provisions. We must also concentrate on responding well to God. All that God has done, all that He has provided and continue to do for us will be of no value to us and will not bear good fruit unless we respond well. So we cannot say, I place all my confidence in God, full stop. I just leave it all to God. We cannot just strive on our own, neither can we just leave it all to God and just express our faith in God, our confidence in His provisions and all that He has done. The branch must abide in the vine, then it will bear good fruit. And the Lord Jesus exhorts us to abide in Him, so we have to abide in Him and He in us. Then the believer will be continually nourished spiritually by the Lord. Critical, we must be nourished by the Lord, but we must also abide in Him. It is not automatic. The Lord wants us to abide in Him, and we must abide in Him, and He in us. We must open up our hearts to the Lord so that He will have the freedom to work in our lives and through our lives. Not just in our personal time with Him each day, but also at all times, in all situations that we go through. Constantly the consciousness of the presence of God, what He desires to teach us, what He desires to bring about in our hearts, and responding to Him and granting Him the freedom to work in us and through us. In that way, we will bear much fruit. That is, the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives and also bearing fruit in every good work. Why is responding well to God essential? Moral and spiritual beauty and stature involve the moral as well as the spiritual dimensions. It has to do with our conforming to the moral, spiritual beauty and character of God, being conformed to the image of Christ. So it cannot come about by fleshly efforts and works of the flesh. The Holy Spirit must bring about this progress in the moral and spiritual dimension of our lives. Without the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts to transform our lives, then the spiritual and moral transformation cannot take place. So it's essential that we must come to the Lord and look to Him to transform us. The Spirit of God transforming our lives on the basis of what God has provided, especially what has been accomplished at the cross. But even as we come to the Lord, we also need to recognize the need for positive response on our part, because moral development requires positive moral response and input. So it's a moral development, it requires the moral input. God also will not compel anything on us that is of a moral nature. We need to respond positively to what He desires to bring about in our lives. The process is difficult. And we do stumble along the way. There are many distractions, difficulties, temptations in this world, and the evil one is continually, actively at work. And there are many wiles of the evil one, operative, and he can work in very powerful ways, as well as in many subtle ways. And the evil one also knows our weaknesses, and he exploits them. So it is very easy to fail and to falter. And believers can become discouraged and deterred. Or believers may also try to excuse themselves and rationalize away their failures. We need to recognize that both of these are promoted by the evil one. They are actually different angles of attack, and both are detrimental. That is, on the one hand, the evil one would encourage us to excuse ourselves when we actually have faltered and to rationalize away our failures. When he succeeds in this, it would hinder us from facing the truth, from recognizing the many deficiencies in our lives, and we do have them, and the need for these deficiencies to be dealt with, and as a result, we will not be dealing with them effectively. When we rationalize away our failures, the Spirit of God would also be grieved and would be hindered from working in our lives. On the other hand, the evil one would also be tempting us, attacking us, and seeking to cause us to falter and fail. And when we falter, he would then accuse us and make us feel guilty and condemned. Some may feel helpless, hopeless, miserable, because they keep failing and do not seem to be making good progress. And at times, they may even wonder whether they are going backwards, retrogressing. Is there any hope? They may wonder. How does God want us to view life and live each day meaningfully? What would be a wholesome, appropriate approach to life without burying our heads in the sand? That is, we want to face the realities of life, and yet, if we want to face the realities of life in this fallen world with the evil actively at work and the weakness of the flesh and so many temptations and the trials, is it feasible for us to live each day with a deep sense of meaning, purpose, and the Lord fulfilling his purposes in our lives? In fact, to put it more strongly, is it feasible? Can we ensure we will make good progress in moral, spiritual development and stature, as this is such a critical issue? Is it possible to ensure that this will take place? The good news is yes. It need not be something unpredictable, uncertain. It is feasible for us to ensure that we will make good progress. In fact, the gospel, or the good news in the scriptures, includes the assurance to God's people that this is feasible. There are two sides to the scriptural presentation which we must pay heed to. On the one hand, the scriptures do indicate to us that walking in the truth is difficult. Making progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature is a difficult and painful process. That is one angle to it. And we must not deny that or think that it is not a difficult process. But there's another angle to it, another side to the scriptural presentation. And that is, even as the scriptures paint to us the difficulties involved, there is also much encouragement and many assurances, very strong assurances from the Lord. For all those who desire to, who have resolved in their hearts that by the grace of God they want to persevere in this path, there are very strong assurances in the scriptures that God will help to bring this about, so that we can have confidence in the Lord and in his assurances, not confidence in our own feeble attempts. the difficulties. We must recognize that God does not shield His children from all hardship and pain. If we think that as children of God, we will be sheltered from all difficulties and pain, we pray and the difficulties will go away, we will be also materially well off and so on, then we can be disillusioned. In fact, there is much pain and many difficulties that we will have to go through and experience because we want to be faithful to the Lord. Many of the difficulties we encounter are actually because we want to be faithful to God, that is, in the life of true discipleship. Paul and Barnabas encourages the disciples to continue in the faith. But at the same time, he told them, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. That is in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 22. But in these two verses, it's helpful for us to take note that these words are uttered in the context of Paul and Barnabas seeking to strengthen the souls of the disciples. Acts 14, 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So on the one hand, facing the reality that there are many tribulations in this world that the believers have to endure, go through, if they want to be faithful to God. And yet, even saying these words is actually part of the encouragement to continue in the faith. Because true encouragement must be in the truth. We must face the realities. And this is part of the process of strengthening the souls of the disciples. We cannot be properly strengthened by evading the issues of life, by burying our heads in the sand, by pretending the difficulties are not there. But even as we recognize there are many difficulties and trials, we must not stop there, which I'll come to shortly. The Lord Jesus Himself also tells us that if we want to be His disciples, we must be prepared to deny ourselves, take up our own cross daily, and follow Him. We are very familiar with these words. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It is not optional. If we want to be disciples, we want to come after Him, then we must deny ourselves and take up our cross. And definitely the cross is painful, difficult. So it would involve, not just it can happen, there will be pain, suffering, difficulties, at times intensely difficult. The Apostle Paul himself, he lived a very rich life, triumphant, but he experienced much hardship, terrible afflictions in his faithful walk with God. However, even though the trials, the difficulties, the tribulations are part of the faithful walk with God, we need not be deterred nor discouraged by the difficulties and pressures along the way. We must recognize we will face them, but we need to know how to face them, because the scriptural presentation of the life of true discipleship, even as it includes the trials, the difficulties, it also communicates to us very clearly that this life of true discipleship is not a miserable, pitiful life. Far from it. It is a life of deep joy, peace, and rest in the Lord. A life of spiritual abundance and fruitfulness, a blessed life. And this is not intended for a special few. It is God's intention for all His children. A life of continuing growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. That is God's intention for us. He has made the provisions, and not only make provisions and for us to work it out then on our own. He is constantly at work to draw us in that direction, to help us all the time, at all times. Are we prepared to to respond to the Lord's call to His working. That is the issue. It's not our trying very hard to succeed. God is drawing us in that direction, and He will help us every step of the way. Let us not be deterred. We have seen in the preceding messages the paramount importance of making good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. And we have also seen the assurance that God sovereignly watches over the lives of those who love Him and walk with Him, so that all they go through would help contribute to their growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature as they respond positively to God's provisions and the Holy Spirit working in their lives. So if God is sovereignly watching over us, He's seeking to bring it about, and as we recognize the far-reaching significance of progress in this area of moral spiritual development, not just for our time on earth, but also for eternity, You help us to have the proper perspective of the meaning of what we are going through. It is not just between us and the difficulties. I'll come more to this subsequently as to the healthy perspective and approach to life. And let us recognize that these assurances of God in the scriptures, the picture painted for us of how God sovereignly watches over us and seeking to bring about the positive development within us, and not only that, that we will grow as we respond positively, not just maybe, but we will grow. That this is true, not only at some moments of time, but at all times. And this is true even though we are living in a fallen world, even though the powers of darkness are continually at work to tempt us, to pressurize us, to afflict us. And they can afflict us directly through direct spiritual pressures and attacks, or through situations, or through people, and it can become very difficult at times. Let us recognize that even though the evil one wants to destroy us as he pressurizes us and attacks us, but instead of being overwhelmed by the consciousness of the difficulties along the way and the works of the evil one, let us be more conscious of the sovereignty of God and His sovereign undertaking, and that His grace is sufficient, He has assured us, and His provisions are more than adequate. It is feasible for us to respond well to the Lord and what He seeks to bring about in our lives, whatever the situation we are going through, as we walk with Him. And it is feasible to make good progress continually, although it is not easy. Compared to the eternal weight of glory they are producing in us, the trials and afflictions we endure in our walk with God are but momentary light afflictions. We've seen this in our reflections on this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. That is, and no matter how severe may be the trials and afflictions, they are still but momentary light afflictions when compared to the eternal weight of glory they are producing in us as we make progress in moral, spiritual stature. Do we believe this? Can we affirm this while going through very difficult times? It is important, it is helpful, if we see this clearly and we affirm it even as we go through the trials and the difficulties. Can we affirm that the more severe the trials and testings, the greater the opportunities for learning deeply and for making good progress? An opportunity for us to be a powerful testimony to the grace of God and God's working in our lives as we respond to Him. Opportunities for us to manifest the glory of God in our lives and through our lives. Let us not just be too taken up with the afflictions and the trials. We need to be conscious that they are present and how to respond, yes. But let us concentrate more on what God is seeking to bring about and how valuable it is that the trials and afflictions can produce within us so that we will not be deterred nor lose heart. Let us remind ourselves as we go through trials and difficulties that if we remain faithful to the Lord and continue to abide in Him and He in us, we will produce much fruit. Our suffering will not be in vain. In fact, the Apostle Paul actually counted a privilege and expressed the longing to experience the fellowship of Christ's sufferings in ever-increasing measure. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. The longing in his heart that I may know him. But he didn't stop there. And the power of his resurrection. And he didn't stop there. And the fellowship of his sufferings. And all this in increasing measure. Paul also invites Timothy, as well as all of us, in principle, to join him in this preparedness to suffer for the Lord's sake. It will not be in vain, even as Christ also suffered on our behalf and also didn't suffer in vain. But even in the midst of the trials, the sufferings, the afflictions, let us also recognize that we can, in the midst of the trials, have rest and peace in the Lord. As we go through pain and pressures, let us remember that the Lord Jesus invites us to come to Him and find rest for our souls and peace in Him. Not after, but in the midst of the trials and tribulations. The Lord Jesus invites us, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. You are familiar with these words of the Lord Jesus. They are very comforting, but more importantly, they are real. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These are not just words of assurance from other people. These are words of assurance from the Lord Jesus himself. He says, I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's not just a maybe. Sometimes it is possible. He wants us at all times and even in the midst of the trials and tribulations. In fact, this is when you're heavy, weary, heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. Come to me. You will find rest for your souls. This is not just a feeling. It is deep rest in the Lord at a deeper level. In the midst of afflictions and tribulations in this fallen world, we can experience true peace and live in an overcoming life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus to us in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, these words I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus assures us that we can have peace in Him. And He says, these things I have spoken to you so that. So He tells us how we can have peace in Him. One is we can have peace how in Him. The other is how to have peace in Him. He says, these words I have spoken to you so that. So we need to understand. So understanding is very important. But even with understanding, we must still respond to the truth that we have come to understand. So first we need to understand the truth revealed and then respond to the truth revealed. If someone just pat us on the back and says, don't worry, peace be to you, that may not be adequate. We may not know how to have peace. But God has not left us in darkness. The Lord Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you. He has shown us the way. In the world, you have tribulation. There will be difficulties that you will face. But he says, take courage, do not be deterred. Or take courage can also be translated cheer up. Take courage, cheer up, do not be downcast. I have overcome the world. And we can also overcome the world in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul tells us. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Not just sometimes, but we can continually lead a triumphant life. But it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests to us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. It's important that we recognize that we can be a positive influence and exudes sweet aroma. Here, Paul is clearly not talking about physical scent, sweet smelling, but it's something spiritually positive. We manifest the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. But this is feasible in the Lord, and as the Lord works within us, in our hearts, he works in us and through us. Let us be assured, as we walk with the Lord, it will not be a miserable and pitiful life, because Christ has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. We are all familiar with this verse in John chapter 10, verse 10. These are truths recorded in the scriptures. They are not ambiguous. We need to see them clearly and not lose sight of them in the midst of the difficulties that we go through. I now want to summarize the positive and helpful approach and perspective of life in relation to ourselves and our own well-being. The concentration now is on ourselves, but it's important for us to recognize this is not being self-centered nor selfish. This is God's will for us, and in fact, this is critical if we want to serve God effectively and also be a blessing to others. But in relation to our own well-being, the positive and helpful approach and perspective of life, I see, is important for us in our approach to life, our perspective of life, that we should learn to view life not primarily from the angle and not being over-conscious of our surroundings. The activities of the powers of darkness, what they are doing, and their objectives. But I want to emphasize, I am saying not primarily from this angle or being overconscious of three things. That does not mean we should not be conscious of the activity, to be aware, to understand how they work, to take our stand. All these are important, but not primarily, and becoming overconscious of the activities of the powers of darkness, what they are doing, and their objectives. B, the conduct of other people, what they are doing, and their motives, and their objectives. Again, here is a question of not primarily from this angle or being overconscious of this, but to be aware of people, what they are doing, their motives, objectives, and so on, are helpful, important, and if we can understand these things accurately, it helps us to understand people accurately and how to respond wisely. C, complexities of situations and calamities that confront us. How perplexing, difficult, and painful. Again, we need to try to understand the situation we are in, face the realities, but do not be primarily conscious of this or be overconscious of all these difficulties. We can become overconscious of these things and become overwhelmed. Rather, we should be more conscious of God, primarily conscious of God, overridingly so. Our consciousness must be of God and God's sovereignty, God's intentions for us, God's provisions, God's working in our lives. what he seeks to bring about in our lives, what he desires to teach us, and to concentrate on how to respond well to God. How to respond as well as we can. Because not just responding well, it's a question of degree, so we want to concentrate on that, to respond as well as we can to the Lord and to his working. This must be our primary concentration on God, his intentions, his provisions, his working, what he's trying to teach us, and concentrate on responding as well as we can to the Lord and his working. In the midst of the situation, the issues of life, the powers of darkness at work, people around us, and so on. Yes. But in the midst of all this, our primary consciousness must be on God as far as our own lives are concerned, our own growth, our own well-being. How? How can we concentrate and respond well? By maintaining a positive attitude, perspective, and prayerful spirit. We must never allow ourselves to become negative in attitude or in our perspective. The biblical presentation is a very positive perspective for God's children as we walk with God. It's not a gloomy, pessimistic picture at all. If we believe in God, that God is sovereign, it is not a gloomy picture. And we must continually maintain a prayerful spirit. We must continually draw near to the Lord and seek to deepen in our knowledge of him, of his ways. And together with the Lord, we seek to learn as much as we can from him as we go through life's situations, together with the Lord, in fellowship with him. That must be the way we go about lives, our primary consciousness. If we maintain this attitude and perspective, we will make good progress in our moral, spiritual beauty and stature. I asked the question earlier, can we ensure? Do we need to be uncertain? Yes, we can ensure if we maintain this attitude and perspective. We will make good progress if we do so. And not only make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, we'll also make progress, good progress, in the quality of our relationship with God as well. And as I mentioned, these are the two legs. And the two legs will be healthy and grow increasingly strong. And this will then make it feasible for us to fare well in every aspect of our faith and our walk with God, service to him, as well as our concern for others. So it is extremely critical that we maintain this kind of attitude and perspective of life. God, through the Apostle Paul, has assured us in Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 29, that he will cause all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. He will seek to bring about our ultimate good. And as we respond positively, it will come about. Especially in the direction of our being conformed to the image of Christ. But not only that, everything that is good for us, God will seek to bring it to pass. Our understanding of this area of truth will also help us appreciate and identify with the meaning of Paul's exhortation to believers in Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And this is actually a very important part of the healthy perspective and approach to life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. How can this be so? In the midst of all the trials and difficulties, how to rejoice in the Lord always? But Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. It is feasible. In all circumstances, in all situations, however trying, however difficult, however pressurizing, however disturbing. How is this feasible? Not that we do not feel the difficulty. Not that we do not find it very difficult. Not that we ignore and are not conscious that there are many things that are going on around us that are not right, including the attacks of the evil one, as well as manifestations of unrighteousness, of evil deeds of men. We are not to rejoice in the evil deeds or the manifestations of unrighteousness. Although Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, he's not calling us to rejoice in the evil deeds and the manifestations of unrighteousness, but notice he says, rejoice in the Lord. So we are to rejoice in the Lord, and that is feasible. We can always rejoice in the Lord. Why? In what sense? Rejoicing in who God is. We can always rejoice in Him, who God is, and what God means to us. What He seeks to teach us, what He seeks to bring about in and through our lives. In all this, we can continually rejoice. It is unchangingly true and very, very rich in meaning. So in all the situations we go through, we can continue to rejoice in God, in who He is, what He means to us, what He seeks to teach us, what He seeks to bring about, and what is feasible. Even in the midst of trials, in fact, we can say, especially in the midst of trials, we can rejoice in the Lord. The potential for deep learning and for accelerated growth, the opportunity to manifest the glory of God, as I've mentioned earlier, opportunity to manifest the glory of God and glorify God by a positive response, and the testimony in the spiritual realm is greater when the trials are more severe and we still respond well. That does not mean we invite trials and difficulties, or we are careless in the way we enter situations. But in our walk with God, when we are faithful to God, then we need not be disturbed by the intensity of the trials. Concentrate on responding well, on being faithful. Then we need not be discouraged, nor disturbed, nor deterred. Let us turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and look at the context of Paul's exhortation. Paul's concerned that believers stand firm in the Lord, in verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. So Paul's concern that they stand firm. And the other aspect is the context is difficulties. In this instance, difficulties in relationship, verses 2 and 3. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So there are difficulties here in relationship, and these are amongst people who love God. And difficulties in relationship can sometimes be extremely painful and difficult. Then Paul mentions in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, not to be anxious about anything. In the midst of all this, in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That is, Paul exhorts us in all circumstances, and especially situations that are difficult, situations that may tend to cause anxiety, situations that may shake our faith and our standing firm in the Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And experience the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. To rejoice in the Lord, experience the peace of God. How can this be real in our lives? Our understanding, conviction about this area of truth that we've been considering can help significantly, and when it is bound up with prayer. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known to God. We do not just grit our teeth and try to go through the situation. come to the Lord, find rest and peace in Him, rejoice in Him, pray to Him to undertake, trust Him to bring about something positive in our lives, even as we go through the difficulties, as we respond to Him, and even asking Him to strengthen us and help us to respond well. Even the very positive response on our part, it is by the grace of God. We must look to the Lord to strengthen us, to help us to respond well. Dependence on God, fellowship with God, prayer. And letting our minds dwell on the positive and what is helpful. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We must be positive in our perspective and on what we dwell upon and not become negative in our thought life or in our spirit. Yes, the evil one may try to plant negative thoughts in our minds, but let us recognize that these are of the evil one. Do not entertain them. What comes from the Lord is what is true, what is lovely, what is of good repute, what is positive. Yes, there's a place to recognize what is going on around us accurately, which does include recognition of many things that are not going on well. But that is different from having a negative attitude and spirit, or to forget that our concentration must be on God and the dwelling on what will truly help us, what will build us up, what is true, what is right, what is pure. If we keep on dwelling even on things that may be true, maybe in the sense that they are happening around us, we keep on dwelling on the negative things that are taking place, then we can become very discouraged. Aware of the powers of darkness at work, aware of the surroundings, aware of even manifestations of unrighteousness and evil deeds, there's a place for that. But do not keep dwelling on these things. That is not the approach we should take. The positive perspective and approach to life that we are considering also goes together with and enables us to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving in all situations, in accordance with Paul's injunction to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This may seem so very difficult for many of us, for believers. How to continue to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving? But notice the context again of this verse. Notice this injunction of Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The context here is rather similar to what we have been considering in the context of Philippians 4:4. It goes together with, and it comes after verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Before I go on further, I just want to mention that this is a very meaningful verse, but at the same time, often misinterpreted, misapplied. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, does not mean we give thanks for everything taking place. There are those who interpret this verse in this manner. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. So it says in everything give thanks, whatever we go through, it is God's will. Whatever is taking place, it is God's will. So we give thanks because it is the will of God. No. That would be a wrong interpretation, because this would also include giving thanks for wrongdoing, for negative things that are taking place. We are giving thanks for everything taking place. That would include giving thanks for wrongdoing, for negative things. This is not God's will for us, to give thanks for wrongdoing, for negative things. There are those who interpret this verse as if everything that takes place is the will of God, because in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. So whatever you go through, it is God's will. No. This kind of understanding that do come forth, and there are believers who are influenced by this kind of thinking, it can then give rise to questions like, God, why are you doing these things to me? When they come across terrible things done to them by others, terrible things that happen to them, they ask, God, why are you doing these things to me? But there are many evil things that are taking place. The evil one is afflicting us in many ways. That is not God's doing. Rather, this verse is trying to tell us that it is God's will that we maintain a spirit of thanksgiving in all situations and whatever may be taking place. Not that everything that takes place is the will of God, and we give thanks for everything that takes place. So in everything, give thanks is to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving in all situations, whatever may take place. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That God wants us to maintain the spirit of thanksgiving in all situations, whatever may be taking place. This is God's will. Maintain the spirit of thanksgiving. Maintain it, even in the context of spiritual warfare, even the context of evil things taking place. Still maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. Why? How can we maintain a spirit of thanksgiving even in the midst of the attacks of everyone, even in the midst of evil deeds taking place? Why can we maintain a spirit of thanksgiving? Because God is sovereignly watching over us and undertaking for us. And we can go through every situation meaningfully and learn from them as we go through them prayerfully in fellowship with Lord. So we can give thanks and continue to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving whatever may be taking place, whatever may be coming upon us if we are faithful to God. Knowing that we can learn, we can grow in every situation, we can glorify God in all situations, and maintaining the spirit of thanksgiving, rejoicing in the Lord, is part of it. As we continue to learn to maintain a spirit of love, genuine love and concern for the well-being of others, not retaliating nor harboring a retaliatory spirit against those who may mean ill to us, you'll see this in verse 15, and not quenching the Holy Spirit. All these are important. Verse 15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Even when you do experience, it's not that we are not conscious, we ignore all these things. But even when we receive evil, people may do evil to us, wrongdoing to us, misunderstand us, whatever it may be, we continue to seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. We must continue to maintain the positive, constructive posture of love, goodwill toward others. Not retaliating, not harboring a retaliatory spirit, even against those who may mean ill toward us. Yes, we need to be wise. How to respond, how to conduct ourselves in different situations. But the spirit within us, not just an emotion, but genuinely in our hearts. There's no ill will, not only that. We long for what is good for all people, and where we can, where it's appropriate for us, we will, as we look to the Lord, seek to do what we can as the Lord guides and enables. It is positive, it is constructive, and as we maintain this, we will not quench the Spirit. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Taking care to abstain from all evil. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. That is, whatever is negative, whatever is displeasing to God. So when we maintain a spirit of thanksgiving, when we rejoice always, all this is feasible. We are bound up together with the positive, constructive posture, perspective, approach to life. And the concentration on God, drawing near to God, trusting Him, knowing He's sovereign. So as far as our own selves are concerned, we know that there will be growth, there will be well-being, even as we continue to adopt a positive posture, perspective, approach. Concerning others, there should always be positive goodwill. and looking to the Lord for wisdom how to respond. So we need not be deterred about our own life, our own well-being, no matter what may be taking place around us, what this evil may seek to do, and the difficulties that confront us, or even what others may say or do to us. But there's an area we need to be very careful not to misinterpret, not to easily conclude that others mean ill toward us, because the evil one is actively at work, and especially amongst the brethren. The evil one seeks to create disharmony, suspicions, misunderstandings. Although it is also true that human beings do falter, the evil one can also manipulate, exploit our weaknesses and aggravate situations, but do not too quickly conclude. Give a lot of room, but ultimately, whatever it may be, we need not be miserable, downcast. We can continually live a life of richness and meaning in the Lord, and ensure we continue to make good progress in our development of moral spiritual stature, as well as our own relationship with God. This is feasible, and live a life of fruitfulness. We can ensure this as we continue to maintain the right posture, spirit, perspective. Concluding remarks. If you adopt this positive perspective and approach to life, seeking to respond well to God, to His provisions, and working in our lives, our primary consciousness of God and what He seeks to bring about, if this is our approach, then every situation can become, will become, a context for learning and growth. Every situation can become, will become, opportunities. Opportunity for the manifestation of God's glory. And shouldn't this be our primary concerns of life? And it will be so as we learn to respond positively, not striving on our own, but by God's grace. It will then manifest God at work in our lives and through our lives, and this will be a very good testimony. But it requires active participation and cooperation on our part, but all enveloped by the grace of God. And as we do so, we'll be manifesting and vindicating God's wisdom in creating man. The evil one seeks to oppose God's purposes and create havoc in the lives of many. And when people turn to evil, the evil one gloats over the whole thing. But when God's people respond positively, then we are vindicating God's wisdom in creating man. Trials then need no longer be viewed as negative experiences or something to be fearful about. But at the same time, we are careful not to be presumptuous of a presumptuous spirit. We take care not to venture into or remain in situations God does not want us to remain in. We also have to continually be conscious that trials can be very difficult, and at times it can seem unbearable, overwhelming. To feel very difficult in the midst of trials and difficulties, let us not be surprised. The apostles who lived triumphantly also do experience great difficulties, including the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and Peter tells us not to be surprised at the fiery ordeals that come upon us. But in all this, our concentration is not on the trials and difficulties, not to be overconscious of these things. Even as we are aware of them, we seek to respond well, we are trusting God's sovereign undertaking. We are trusting His grace will be sufficient for us. And even as we view every situation as opportunities to learn and grow and manifest God's glory, as we trust God to realize that actually this is what life is all about. Take note then of two points. One, the last part I mentioned about rejoicing and thanksgiving, bear in mind that maintaining the posture of rejoicing in the Lord and a spirit of thanksgiving in all situations and at all times is an integral part of the positive approach and perspective of life. Not just the positive approach enables us to rejoice and to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving, they are both bound up together. A positive approach, perspective, enables us to rejoice, to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. It is also vital we continue to rejoice in the Lord, maintain a spirit of thanksgiving. It is an integral part of the positive approach and perspective of life. If we don't rejoice in the Lord, we don't maintain a spirit of thanksgiving, then there will be a serious dent in the positive approach and perspective, and our spirit will become downcast. These two aspects of rejoicing and spirit of thanksgiving, these are important. They are important, integral part of responding well to God. It's part of it, of responding well to God and God's intentions for us, God's provisions for us. Part of responding well to the Lord, His provisions, is to rejoice in Him, to maintain the spirit of thanksgiving. If we are not, then we are not responding well. And these two aspects, they are important in helping us to make good progress in moral, spiritual, beauty, and stature. And it's helpful for us to evaluate whether this is true in our lives. Is it real? Or do we falter in this area? If we do, let us not give excuses. God wants us to rejoice in Him, to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving, and it is feasible. And we can do something about it. It is not something that is just unavoidable when we are not rejoicing, not having a spirit of thanksgiving. And what has been covered earlier can help us in this direction. We can do something about it. The second point to take note of is that we can have proper confidence that it is feasible to maintain the right posture. We've seen maintaining right posture is important, but we may say, how to? Is it feasible? In the midst of all the difficulties? Not only is it feasible, we can actually have confidence. There's a proper place for proper confidence that it is feasible to maintain the right posture of approach and perspective in life, and also to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature in all situations. We can have this confidence. It is feasible. But realize that it is not confidence in ourselves. This is very important. Our confidence is actually in God, because God desires to bring this about. And our confidence in Him, that He will bring it about. We cannot bring it about by ourselves, but God will bring it about as we continue to say yes to Him, cooperate with Him. He says He wants to bring it about. He will bring it about as we look to Him. The Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and will make it a reality, but we must look to the Lord, and He has the freedom to bring it about. He wants to bring it about. We must say yes to God and no to all the negative. No to all the evil one seeks to bring about in our lives, but yes to God. A continuing yes to God. God has been working in our lives in this direction for all God's children. He has been working, not just maybe. He has been working in our lives in this direction to bring it about, that we may be conformed to the image of Christ, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And God will continue to do so until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul says he's confident, not just for his own life, but also for the lives of other believers, that God who began a good work, God has already begun a good work in all his children. A beginning has already taken place. And God will continue to work. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. God will continue to work in the direction that will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. he continues to move in that direction, work in that direction until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier that it doesn't mean that the moment we enter eternity, straight away we will be changed into moral, spiritual perfection of the Lord Jesus. In fact, there are some who refer to this verse in that manner. No, that is not what Paul is talking about here. But Paul is talking about the continuing work of God to bring us in a direction of being perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And God will continue. Paul is confident of this thing, that God has been and he will continue until the day of Christ. He will continue to work in that direction while we are on earth. But whether God's desires for us will materialize to what degree, we have to say yes. We have to cooperate well. As we cooperate well with the Lord, he has the freedom to bring it about, then increasingly you'll become a reality in our lives. We'll grow in moral, spiritual beauty and perfection, the direction of being perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. As I indicated earlier, this positive approach and perspective of life, although concentrating in this message on our personal growth development, is not selfish nor self-centered. This positive approach and perspective of life will ensure and is the most effective way to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature in our own lives, but not only that, together, that is, positive approach and good progress, these two, they will form the basis for the most effective way to honor and glorify God, serve Him, and contribute to His kingdom, and also the basis and the most effective way to relate meaningfully and have positive influence on the impact and the lives of others. If we truly love others, we want to really help others. If we truly love the Lord, we want to honor Him. If we are concerned about God's kingdom, we want to align our hearts with what the Lord Jesus teaches us in the pattern prayer, Your kingdom come. We want to contribute our part to God's kingdom. Then this positive approach and perspective of life, together with the growth and making good progress in our growth, they are critical. They form the basis for an effective life. We'll stop here for today. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on God's intentions for us. Let us reflect on what took place at the cross, the positive example of the Lord Jesus, the spirit with which He went through the cross, and also what has been accomplished and God's intentions for us through the cross. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your kind intention for our lives. Thank You also for Your provisions. And we ask that You help us to maintain a positive posture, spirit, perspective, and approach to life. Help us not to be ignorant of the wiles of the evil one, to seek to understand people, to be aware of what is going on around us, and yet help us not to be overconscious of these things, especially what the evil one and it seeks to do in his attacks and afflictions and trials that come upon us. But help us to be primarily conscious of Your presence, Your sovereignty, Your watching over our lives, Your undertaking for us, and that in every situation it is feasible for us to go through meaningfully. Help us, on the one hand, not to be confident in anything in relation to ourselves and our abilities, and yet not be so uncertain and wavering as we face the issues of life, but to have true confidence in you, that you are a sovereign God. And that your intentions for our lives, you will bring to pass as we say yes to you, as we cooperate with you. You will bring it to pass if we have the freedom to work in our lives and through our lives. And so we pray that you help us to concentrate on you, your purposes, and how to respond as well as we can to you and your working in our hearts. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. That we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We pray that you prepare our hearts, that we may not partake in an unworthy manner. Help us to partake together in fellowship with one another and seeking to work out our lives together as members of the body of Christ. Help each one of us to learn how to rejoice in you, to maintain a spirit of thanksgiving, and not to be discouraged and deterred by the difficulties along the way, not to be downcast because of the pressures and attacks of the evil one. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.